the world is spinning round, but you come along and time slows down.
I should properly introduce myself. I'm Romeo.
I knew that my heart would never beat the same.
Did you not see the look in her eyes? She's changed. It takes a mother to know.
Are you kidding me? A Montague and the Capulet would set the world on fire.
It's been a long day for you, huh?
Yeah, I guess so. It has been, yeah.
Are you used to all of this?
No, this is like one of my first days doing this. It's a bit of a blur, really. But I mean, it's exciting to talk about it because we filmed it quite a long time ago. So now it's cool just, you know, bringing it all back up. I got to see Clara again, which was exciting. And I'm just so happy that people are going to see it, finally.
Me too, because it's such a vibrant and wonderfully done adaptation. And it's really the story that Shakespeare knew, you know, before he wrote Romeo and Juliet. And it really touches on a lot of different notes. And speaking of notes, wow, what a voice you have.
Thank you so much.
You know, stepping from the live stage into this musical, was it a big transformation for you?
It was more of a transition trying to go from film and TV into a musical, even though it was a movie musical. I think singing on screen is really difficult. You know, it's especially at 2 a.m. in freezing cold in Italy. That's tough. But yeah, having been on stage before, it definitely helped. You know, just I think that having that self sort of confidence and an awareness of your body is really important.
You know, as audiences discover this, and they will, what do you think they'll take away with them from watching Juliet and Romeo?
Well, I think they'll get the story. Our adaptation is really faithful to Shakespeare's story. But I think they'll understand it on a level that maybe they haven't before, simply because it's modern language, it's modern vernacular, and that's definitely going to be helpful. And I think the themes are explored in maybe a different way. You know, they're explored through song. So, you know, if they like the songs, the pop songs, then they'll really connect emotionally to those moments in ways that they haven't before.
Yeah, I think the nuances in Shakespeare's play are really put a spotlight on in the musical, because it's a lot easier to kind of get the feeling of what these two lovers are going through.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's I think you can really get a sense of the sort of the camaraderie between the Montagues, a camaraderie between the Capulets. And the feud between, I got a sense in this movie that I could really feel the sort of conflict between the families in a way that hadn't been explored in other ones. You know, it's just explored in a different light. And you really get a sense of the community, the town of Verona, and the history of what was going on in Italy in the 1300s.
Yeah, it's, as I said, it's a beautiful adaptation. The music is brilliant. And you are just amazing to watch. And so congratulations on this wonderful film.
Thank you so much.
Rebel Wilson, As I Live and Breathe, there you be.
Hi, Tony. Hi. Oh, that sounded
it's
very Shakespearean of you.
I know. Yeah. I used to teach Shakespeare at a local college.
Oh, okay. So you probably know more than me, who only studied it at high school. And wasn't quite listening.
Wow. What a brilliant performance this is as Lady Capulet.
Oh, thank you so much. I mean, Lady Capulet's kind of one of those iconic mother roles, and I'd just become a mother when I got offered the role. And before, I would probably have never thought of playing that kind of role. I mean, if Romeo and Juliet came up, I'd probably pick me for the nurse or something, which is, I think, what I played in high school. Yeah, it was a real challenge to play Lady Capulet, and she's often portrayed just purely villainously, and I tried to give her a bit more empathy and understanding. And I love that Tim, the director, with his brother put in this song, The Mask I Wear, in the middle of the film, which kind of shows how the females are struggling and are struggling with some of these decisions. And I think that adds a great new element to the story.
The Mask I Wear is a brilliantly potent song, and I'm waiting for it to come out so I can have it on my iTunes.
Oh, yeah, I think it's just come out. You can get it up. And it's just like this female anthemic song about how we're struggling with things and how you can present a mask to people in society that everything's all right and maybe everything's not quite all right, and how the burden of carrying around that in the world.
I think that this is probably one of the best adaptations of Romeo and Juliet I think I've seen, and I've seen a lot.
Yeah.
I think this is very true to what Shakespeare wanted. I mean, it's based on the story that he heard, you know, basically about the Capulets and the Montague. But it's such a wonderfully alive version with the music that's involved.
Yeah, I mean, I saw the recent Broadway version of Romeo and Juliet. I loved the Baz Luhrmann film from a long time. How long ago was that? Like 30 years ago, I think now. But this one, it's just so accessible and it's so entertaining, which you wouldn't really think from what you think Romeo and Juliet is, you know, a love story where they die at the end. This is such an entertaining version. And there's so many characters that are all great that all pop in and weave into the story that I think this movie does that really, really well.
Well, before I go, my time is almost up. I want to congratulate you on the Deb. Wow, what a directorial debut that was, and a hell of a film.
Oh, thank you so much. I can't wait for the world to see it, and not just the lucky people at Toronto Film Festival. But yeah, excited, and I'm in negotiations to direct my second movie, which will also be a musical. I can't keep away from musicals. It's really, that was a challenge directing after, you know, not ever having any directorial experience. Step in there, but oh my god, I just love it, and the Deb is just hilarious. So yeah, I can't wait for people to see that.
This isn't how our story ends, I promise you that.
Ensure that Romeo knows that tonight I drink to him.
What now?
It's a mystery.
Just seen the body of David Blakely at Hampstead Mortuary.
David?
I understand you know something about it.
I am guilty. I'm rather confused.
Half a dozen witnesses saw her shoot Blakely.
You have signed a written statement admitting your guilt.
Congratulations Cruel Love, the Ruth Ellis story. Is there more responsibility on you as an actor to take on the role of someone that's actually lived?
Absolutely. And I think you always go into playing a real person knowing that that yours is an interpretation, so you don't have the time and the hours to put kind of convey absolutely everything. And there is always that want and temptation to, especially when the person is as interesting as Ruth Ellis. But I think we were just gifted with these brilliant, brilliant scripts. So I felt that it was such a service to her and the humanization of her. She had been portrayed in the media at the time in such a skewed way that was so informed by misogyny and classism. And so I felt the script was such a kind of clarification of who she was, of the dark and the light. So I felt in really great hands. And then I really empathized with her. So it was, that always makes that channel of access much easier.
It's a very interesting series, and the fact that it takes this character, Ruth, and it's almost a cautionary tale for today. I mean, it's how women are kind of treated in the media.
Absolutely, and I mean, we acknowledge that we live in a patriarchy, but we feel very uncomfortable to acknowledge that that means we live in a misogynistic society, and we still do. You know, I really wanted to start this press tour with so many positive statistics, but actually you realize how much, you know, how much we do mirror 1955 in the ways that we haven't progressed, especially in the treatment of women, and especially in terms of domestic violence. Those statistics get worse every year. It's an epidemic in the UK, as it is here. And so I do feel really, really privileged to be a part of a show that really brings that to light and will hopefully be a catalyst of conversation for audiences.
I think so too, and I think your cast is just spot on. And it must be such a privilege and a wonder to work with somebody like Toby Jones.
Always. This is the second time I've been lucky enough to work with him, and I think I just respect him so much and love his work so much. Then you end up feeling really safe in scenes with an actor like that, because they're a good kind of litmus test and barometer for quality. So you know that when you're trying to find the scene together and kind of find the tone and how much to share with the audience and such, you're in really safe hands with someone who knows the craft very, very well. So yeah, Toby Jones every time.
I enjoy also the fact that this was made into a mini series, because if it was a movie, it was a full arc like that. Mm. I don't think you can get the intricacies in that you needed to explain Ruth's story.
And also, there's so much we had to leave out. There's so much kind of pre-context for her life that helps you understand why she is the way she is. I mean, her childhood was fascinating. Her father was incredibly abusive. She grew up through the Blitz in London, so was very hardened by having a really rough life and very difficult cards dealt her. But she became very pragmatic because of it. But yeah, there were so many more details that we wish we had more hours to kind of to excavate and explore. But yeah, hopefully the audience is captivated by this.
And speaking of audience, I mean, what do you think they'll take away with them from watching this miniseries?
I think people will be surprised that they don't know Ruth Ellis's case to begin with. It changed the judicial system in the UK, but it's a pivotal case, and it was shocking at the time, even more so now through a contemporary lens. And I think people will be unsettled by the familiarity of so many elements. And again, I hope it's a real catalyst for examining how our judicial system treats women.
Again, you know, you must have tons of scripts crossing your desk all the time. And to pick this one, there had to be something very special about this script that caught your eye.
It was just undeniable to me. I mean, the framework of it, the case in itself, as I said, it changed our judicial system, so I was immediately intrigued by that and shocked that I wasn't aware of it. The 1950s, post-war London, is such a fascinating era to examine. It was such an era, I think, of regression into traditionalism, whereas the 20s to the 40s had been kind of much more in the direction of freedom and kind of exploration and expression. So that context was fascinating. And again, the kind of time travel element of acting, where you get to live in a totally different time and space. And then Ruth at the center of it, this walking contradiction of a woman, this very ambitious, diligent force of nature, who, you know, there were very few opportunities for women at that time. And she knew that she wanted a big, bright life for herself and much more than she'd been born into. And she really had to carve out that space for herself. And so she was a very, very modern woman. So she really surprised me in all of my research.
Well, in our final seconds we have, and by the way, thank you so much for your time. I know you're a busy lady. Will you be going back on stage, hitting the board, so to speak, and doing something in front of live audiences soon?
I don't know. I don't know. I do love camera work because, I mean, as you'll see in this show, you get to be so intimate with the audience when it's, you know, you can have a mask that a kind of a jury won't see, and then the audience and the camera are so close, the slight flicker can convey so much emotion. I find that so satisfying as an actor. But never say never. Possibly.
Lucy, thank you so much for your time, and always good to see you.
Thank you. Likewise. Thank you Bye-bye. So much.
My dad stopped talking to me.
Hello?
Hey, Dad, it's me.
Gotcha. Leave a message.
Hi.
Mailbox is full. If I'm not the same,
is that okay? So I went searching for him.
Dad?
And I accidentally found another Bob Trevino.
Bob Trevino likes your comment.
Hi, are we related?
Jeannie, I think I may have made a friend.
Who?
Some young woman on the internet.
My name is Lily Trevino.
I don't even know how she found me.
He's funny.
Look, she's screaming into the void. No one even likes her posts.
Just don't give her any money.
John, I love your taste in shirts.
Oh my God, we have the same shirt.
Same shirt.
Well, not exactly, but close.
So nicer.
I think it's the same exact shirt from what I'm saying.
No, it's not, Barbie. It is not the same.
It's part of the John Leguizamo collection here at Any Men's Shops. Wow, what a film, guys! I tell you, I was just blown away by, by how endearing this film is, how funny it is, and yet how heartbreaking it is. And Lily, you did such a great job in this. It's got to be an actor's dream to play somebody like this.
Yeah, I think, I think what really allowed us or allowed me to do our work, me and Tracy, was that it was completely independent. And, Tracy mm-hmm. put her whole life into this. She got financing for this movie and it was a true independent feat. So I think we got to really, it is an actor's dream to have that where, we're there because we're making decisions within ourselves and that's what makes sense for the story. And usually the best work I think comes from that when people really have or are independent minded in their filmmaking or are truly independent like we were. So I think for me, that was really what allowed me to kind of do what I got to do and Tracy to do what she had to do was that it was independent and it was, we were doing the movie that we wanted to do. So
I got to back it up with her because it's true. I mean, indie film is still the best character driven story. It's not driven by plot. It's driven about character and what people want and need. And the honesty and the rawness of it, you see it on film, you see it with Barbie as she breaks your heart. She makes you laugh and it's a beautiful journey.
Yeah, it is. And it is a hero's journey, Barbie. It really is got everything in it.
Every Campbell beat is in there.
Exactly. And it's got a rhythm that I haven't felt in a long time.
Wow. Well said.
Thank you. Right. It feels fresh. It feels so. Yeah. The film itself is just so different than what is out there that it's so refreshing. And I think people are really resonating with the fact that it's so outside of what, most of the content that's coming
out now.
Yeah, it's
original, it's not an IP. It's a story based on real elements that happened. So that's what makes it feel authentic.
No fancy camera tricks, none of that.
No tricks at all.
No tricks at all.
and John, I'll tell you, I mean, you fell into this part so well. I mean, have you wanted to play somebody like this?
Yes, I have. I've always wanted to play like a more three-dimensional character, a more regular type of guy. I'm always playing like eccentrics and weird characters, which I love. But this was a chance for me to be more myself and bring myself to this film. And working with Tracy Layman in this amazing script that was so moving and touching and Barbie and her performance is the breakout performance of the year. You heard
I absolutely believe that too. I wish that this was closer to the Academy because this would be certainly a nominated performance.
Taking compliments, okay? But thank you. I'm just blushing over here. Thank you so much.
Well, the compliments come with the shirts. So, yeah.
I like the shirts.
I do like your shirt a lot, though. I'm not going to lie.
John, it's good to see you. Thank you both for the time.
Thanks, Tony.
I befriended a stranger on the internet so that I could feel like I have like a family.
Calm down and breathe.
I do not need to breathe. What I need is a dad.
We're all a bit broken. You know what? You're going to be fine.
I guess that brings us here.
Oh my God. I'm sorry. No, it's gonna be okay. It's gonna be okay, okay?
Thanks for watching Screen Chatter. If you'd like to catch up on all of our celebrity interviews and movie reviews, just log on to screenchatter.com. And you can also follow us on social media, including Instagram, X, and Facebook. Again, thanks for tuning in to Screen Chatter this week. We'll be back next week with another show. I'm film critic Tony Toscano, and I'll see you at the movies.